Blog Talk Radio.
To What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. We are excited to have you here today because we're teaching you how to make the Word authentic and you to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net. to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it means to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site. If we can ever be of any service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or give us a call at 804-909-7339. Today we will begin a new series on the book of John, and I am so excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, give us a call at 347-857-1322 or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com. /DMC2, and you can listen or chat with us online. As always, it is my privilege and honor to introduce my co-host, Pastor Godfrey Kasiri from God's Kingdom at Hand Ministries in Chesterfield, Virginia. Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you doing?
Oh, amen. Doing very, very well. Why don't you give us a prayer this morning to get us started, and then I'm going to start reading in John chapter 1.
All right. Father, Lord, we want to thank you for this morning, Lord. We want to thank you for the opportunity of coming, Lord God, in your presence, Lord. We thank you for your word because the entrance of your word brings light, Lord. May you bring that light forth, Lord, in our hearts, Lord God, as we open up this book of John in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. What's new and exciting in your young life? Everything going well?
Yeah, I'm trusting the Lord. You know, I've been a little down, you know, with a thyroid, but God is so good. I'm getting back to my medication, I know, so now I'll be ready to rock, brother.
Amen. Well, we know that you are healed in Jesus' name, and we'll continue to lift you up in prayer for that. We're still talking about after we get back from Africa on the church, correct?
Correct. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, we'll put that on hold till then, and we'll continue to give updates as they become available. All right,
exactly.
What I want to do is start reading in John chapter 1, because this book right here is one of my most favorite. Actually, the whole Bible from front to back is my favorite, but this is one of the most exceptional chapters that I've ever read in my life, and I'm having the opportunity to teach this book right now at Life Christian University up in Ashland. And so I want to kind of parallel these things because I believe that the more that I can immerse myself and you can immerse yourself in the Word of God, then the more that it really benefits you and help people accomplish the things that God wants us to do. Because one thing you're going to find out in this book is that God is on your side, and He has a plan for your life, and if you have been fortunate enough to have been called into His service, He is definitely equipping and has equipped you with every tool, every resource, everything that you're going to need to be able to accomplish His work on this earth. Now, we know that we're talking here about the Apostle John, who was Jesus' brother. And so in this book, it's been said that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. Of course, I think that was a self-proclamation, if you will. But he was very close to Jesus. And he was in the inner circle because it was Peter, James, and John who were the three that he kind of entrusted with a lot of the inner workings of the ministry, if you will, that he did not entrust to others. And, of course, in our lives, we need to have our own inner circle, those people that we trust for sound counsel and wisdom. The Bible says that there's wisdom in many counsels, but you must always make sure that the counsel is wise. So we're going to begin reading in verse 1, and I don't know how much we'll get through of this each day, but we may be here for the rest of the year. I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. This is a plate full of steak. If you're hungry for the word, this is where you want to be. All right, I'm going to be reading, first of all, out of the New King James Version. And it says in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and nothing, and without him nothing was made that was made, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Now, I'm going to stop right there because we could probably spend the rest of the day just on those three or four verses. One of the things that we want to remember here is that the word, capital W-O-R-D, is translated as Jesus. And so we can read that from this perspective is in the beginning was Jesus, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Pastor, what do you think about that? Is that a legitimate statement there?
I believe that's a legitimate statement, brother. Because as we looked at it before, in Revelation 19, where it says, "And the name was written on its side, and his name is the Word." So I believe it's talking about Jesus, who is the Word.
Amen. Well, we also can look at an amplified version of this. It says, "In the beginning was before all time was the Word, Christ. The Word was with God, and the Word was God himself."
Right.
And so there we see that it's talking about him being Christ. Now, we can also take a rabbit trail here, if you'd like, back to Genesis chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, because it's going to be hard for you to really get the intended benefit out of this if you don't have your Bible with you. In Genesis chapter 1, we see that the writer says that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. What are we talking about there when we talk about the Spirit of God, Pastor Godfrey?
Right, yes. And that was our last topic that we covered, where we saw that without the Spirit of God, then there is nothing that can remain in existence. And so he was there from the beginning.
Okay, so we know that the Spirit was there, and we know that God was there. But where do we see the parallel here between Jesus and God being in the same place? Well, the next verse in Genesis says that then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw the light and that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and he called the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Well, if you do that, and then you go back to John, then you find out here it says that all things in verse 3 were created or made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. But in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So that's the parallel, I believe, right there is the parallel between these two scriptures. So we see that all three were there, okay, because it says in the beginning Jesus was there. And so then we see the first created act there is where he separates the light from the dark. And this is not, this is a common misconception. This is not the sun and the moon and the stars. Okay.
No.
So what is your take on that right there, as far as the light and the dark?
What I said in verse 5, it almost corresponds with what you've read in verse 3, where it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. We say exactly the same thing here. It says, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Okay, so right there, I believe he's separating good and evil right there. He's making the differentiation, and he's telling us from the beginning where we need to be. We need to be living in the Spirit of God, because
that's
in
right.
the spirit realm, in the light, there is life. And it says there that Jesus was that life. And so from the beginning, when even though we weren't physically on the scene yet, he's had a plan for us, and that plan is for us to live in the light, which is Jesus. Okay?
That's right.
So then he says in verse 3 in the Amplified Bible, says, all things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. And in him, and we're talking about Jesus here, was life, and the life was the light of men.
And
in verse 5 in the Amplified says, and the light shines in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. Oh, come on now, I'm about ready to shout. Put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. Oh, my goodness. So what he's done here for us is he set us in a place where we have immeasurable power. We have immeasurable authority, and we are the light and the life unto men. So your life as a Christian needs to be bathed into this scripture here, into this word of John, and you need to understand who you are and whose you are and from whence you come. Would you like to make any comments on that, Pastor?
That's very true, brother. Like you're saying, that he is the light, and once he comes in, he brings the light that separates the darkness from the light.
Right, and the cool thing about that is that it's not only that we're separated from the darkness, but the darkness doesn't even comprehend what we're all about.
That's right.
It says that it can't understand it. It's never been able to overtake it. It's never absorbed it. And it just really, the devil just doesn't understand what it is that we're here to do. And that's a good thing. But we have to appropriate that for ourselves. We have to make part of our mission, part of our psyche, if you will, that we know who we are and that we have this authority, and therefore we cannot be defeated. Now, that's an awesome statement right there, that we cannot be defeated. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So here we know that the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost have been, they are, and they will continue to be. And that is reassuring to know that we don't have to worry about. I've been doing a little bit of studying on the Quran, and the Quran is talking about, and also with Hindus who really believe, I guess, in reincarnation, that everything that's good for them is going to happen after they're dead. Well, that's putting everything on a kind of a strange level, because our situation is going to improve, but we don't have to wait till we die. We can live heaven on earth right here, right now. If we choose, but we have to appropriate these provisions that God has supplied for us and has prepared for us. And if we do that, then glory be to God, our lives will be 100% different. One of the things
God.
I wanted to make sure that we understand here is that we're not here by accident, okay?
No,
this is
not a
freak of nature or some sonic boom or any of those other foolish ideas that man entertains and tries to promote. We are here by divine or ordination, if you will. God has decided that we're going to be here to help him do his work, and that is what we are. We have to accept that and embrace that and then step out in faith, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in great detail a little bit later on. But we have to step out in faith so that we can accomplish those things that God wants us to accomplish on the face of this earth. Anything else you'd like to add right now?
Yeah, that's very true, because I was looking at verse 7. Can you read verse 7 where it says, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Then it says, hey, he was not the light. That's talking about John, right? And so I'm looking at it in this aspect. Remember where it says that we are the light of the world, now talking about us as believers, right?
That's right.
And so our work is to reflect and show forth him shining through us and to the world.
Amen. Well, I agree with you there. I want to, in that verse 6 where he says there was a man sent from God, his name was John. He said, then this man came for a witness. Now, witness is a very important word because that's our testimony. Okay?
Very true.
And if you go, I think it's in John chapter 14, he talks about the importance of a testimony in a court of law. So when we think about it from that perspective, in order to be found guilty in a court of law, you have to be found guilty by a preponderance of the evidence, and the evidence presented in the form of testimony. Hallelujah. Mm.
Come on.
And so what God has done here for us is he has provided us with evidence in the form of a testimony. Glory be to God. He sent this wild man, John, to tell us all about this. And a very interesting thing is the next verse after where you stopped at says, let's keep on going. He says that he was came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might might believe. Now here's the thing: it is to bear witness in of the light, or to testify, to present testimony of the light that all through him might believe. Glory be to God. So his desire is playing there. He wants everybody to believe what John the Baptist is saying and how this word is written.
Exactly.
But then he says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness or testimony of that light that was the true light, and that light is capitalized. That's Jesus. That's God.
Exactly.
He was the true light, which gives the light to every man coming into the world.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So now we're talking about the validation and the verification of the scripture. It says that when man dies and stands before God, there will be no excuse for him saying, I don't know who God is. I've never seen God. I don't understand what God is all about. Because
right
there in that scripture, in that verse, he says that the true light, which gives light to every man.
Man.
That word "every" means all, and that word "all" means all.
Exactly.
Every man coming into the world. So every man, and we're talking about mankind here, that's male and female, man that comes into this world has a knowledge of God. It has been presented to him. The testimony, the witness is there, either through the things of nature, because he uses the things of this world to explain the things of the spirit, or by some sort of emotional experience, or by whatever means, there is no excuse for people saying they don't know or don't believe that there's a God. What would you like to add to that, sir?
That's very true. Remember, it says that every creation declares the glory of God, so that man is without excuse.
And which verse is that?
I believe that is in Psalms. I can't remember the particular verse, but it says that every creature declares the glory of God. In other words, you see the reflection of him as he shines through whatever he has created, as we've seen it in the beginning, where it says that in the beginning of John, where it says that everything was created by him, and without him, nothing. was created.
Amen. So he also says that he manifests his glory through his creation. So if we are his creation, then merely the fact that we have been created or born or brought into this world is a manifestation of the presence and the power of God.
Of God. That's right.
Whether we believe it or not is really irrelevant. We're still it.
That's true.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you folks. I'm getting excited about this thing. This is absolutely awesome stuff.
I know. It is.
Right, we have about maybe 8 or 9 minutes left to go on the show today. I want to go a little bit further and into that next verse there, or next set of verses, where it talks about the fact that, let's see, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that is a powerful, powerful statement right there. It reminds me, if we get down a little bit further, we start talking about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was talking about, you know, how can a man be born again? Can you go back up to his mother's womb and
his mother's
world? That's not at all what he was talking about. But what he's saying here is that when Jesus came to the face of this earth, this was his own creation. He came to his own, but they didn't recognize him. They didn't receive him. They were thinking more of a military type commander that was going to bring about a revolution in the community there, or actually in the whole world, and allow the Jews to be the rulers that they really should be. Mm-hmm. But that was not at all what the plan was. He was much more subtle than that. And this was not a battle of physicality. It was actually a battle of the mind.
Mm.
And so what he says here is, he says that, you know, that Jesus came back for his own, but they rejected him. But for everybody who believes, so that's what we're telling you out there today, folks. If you believe this word, if you have the intestinal fortitude, if you have the guts, if you have the ability to comprehend this and believe what God said, then you have the right. See, now what is a right? That's a privilege. That's an honor. That's a position of authority. You have the right to become sons of God, and it has nothing to do with where you came from, glory be to God. You know, it has nothing to do with your mama and your daddy getting together one night and saying, well, I think we're going to have a child. It has nothing to do with that, because they couldn't have that child unless God said, yes, it's time for them to have that child.
Exactly.
None of these births of children happen by accident. I know they happen sometimes in perhaps not the greatest set of circumstances, either through rape or incest or family lust or something of that nature, but that's irrelevant. That is not the most important thing. The most important thing is that once that child comes forth, he is a child of God, and he has the right, if he chooses to believe the word of God, he has a right to become a son of God. Hallelujah.
That's very true.
Additional comments on that, Pastor?
Remember where it says, I think it's in Peter, that we're being born by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. So still, we really see his work comes in through the word. In other words, it's not the will of man. It's not man to decide, but it's the will of God.
So when you talk about incorruptible, what does that mean?
Incorruptible, in other words, it cannot be destroyed. It cannot be annulled. It stands for eternity.
Well, that is absolutely an awesome promise that he has made for us. You know, and later on we find out that Jesus didn't come to destroy the world, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Exactly.
So from Adam forward, you know, we've lived in a fallen world, and we've really been lost. And imagine, if you will, that that all of those people that lived before Jesus did not have the advantage of having the Word of God presented to them in the way that we're presenting it today, or have had it presented to us. They didn't have that advantage, and yet they believed, and it was accounted to them as faith. Abraham said because of what he did, or not Abraham didn't say it, but God said that because of what Abraham did, it was accounted to him as having faith.
Right.
So we have a lot more opportunity, a lot more resources available for us today to live according to the Word of God than they did then, and yet we see so much hate and anger and discontent and the devil just running rampant trying to pervert people's mind and delay their processes, corrupt their seed, the whole nine yards, and that should not be. Hallelujah. Anything else you'd like to add at this point?
I'm looking at verse 14 where it says, and the Word was made flesh. In other words, it manifested. That's what we're saying. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth.
So they actually witnessed, and this again is their testimony. They witnessed the glory of God, and the glory of God is the presence of God.
Exactly.
And so they were able to actually witness the presence of God, and he's telling us here that we, if we believe what he says, if we believe the testimony, if we concur with the testimony, if we believe it, and I guess in some regards this puts us as a jury, if you will, if we come to the conclusion that the evidence presented is true, then we have the opportunity to be sons of God. And we can believe in what they saw, and actually we'll be able to see it ourselves according to what the Word says. Now, I remember in a court case that I was at up in Louisa County, where I was on the jury, and it was the most bizarre thing I have ever seen in my life, to see actually how the judicial system works. It was amazing. We heard the testimony, and a lot of it was, in my opinion, was pretty flaky. But when we went back to the jury room to deliberate, the judge gave very clear instructions, and I will give these same instructions to people as they listen to what we're talking about and read the Word for themselves. He said, your job is not to determine guilt. That's already been decided. Your job is to go back and evaluate the evidence as it was presented and make a determination as to what is true and what's not true, and then attach a dollar amount of reward, you know, for that evidence. And that thing has stuck with me ever since, that our job is to evaluate the evidence. And then we have to make a decision to determine how we're either going to benefit or not benefit from what comes forward. Any final words? We're about ready to run out of time here, Pastor.
Actually, to what we have been looking at, and when you talk about the evidence, I was thinking about Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus was faced with a temptation. He also had to say, it is written. Now, if he depended on what is written, that means we've got to depend on the same Word. What does the Word declare? What does the Word say? That is the true evidence that has been said before us.
Amen. Well, listen, folks, join us next week, same time, same place, 10 o'clock, for What Does the Word Say? And we'll continue in the book of John. Until then, be blessed and let the Spirit reign.